slowly rolling into it and off of corner number four. It's showtime at Skagit Speedway.
And also on the racetrack, from Harrisburg, Oregon, to the Miles Sand and Gravel, Shenbolt Construction, Pacific Coast Welding, Pack Trucking, number 13L, Tyler Thompson. Tyler Thompson in the 13L.
It's showtime!
One car with the front of it that was junk, and another car with the back of it was junk. So I cut both of them in half, took the good part of one car and the good part of the other car, and welded up the other.
The reason why I decided to move to Sean's number and use it was just because in memory of Sean was his V8. And, I just kind of lived for racing and racing with his number just to remember him by.
Racing, and next thing you know, she's on the flag stand running the, doing flag and all my quarterback. I'm like, where did you come from?
You definitely have to want it. You can't just say you want it. You got to want it. You got to have that desire that drives you.
I hope they just soak it all in, because you don't know when it could be over, right? Mom and Dad can't do this anymore, right? We don't have the money, or we can't find the sponsors, whatever it is. I just soak it all up while it's happening.
That was at Elma. This is a different track. I don't think it'll be the same thing. He's like, oh, okay, you can throw it on. We threw the GoPro on his car, and he actually did pretty good that night, I believe. So we're like, see? I convinced him. I was like, see, it's only at Elma. You can't rent a GoPro. And then the next week, I believe he blew up a motor with the GoPro on, so I haven't put a GoPro on his car since then.
Well, welcome in to this week's edition of On the Gas, a Skagit Speedway podcast, episode number 11. My name is Eric Liss. Joining me, as always, is Blake Anderson. Blake, we're coming off the Skagit Nationals.
Yeah.
Now we're coming in an off week, but what a big 3 days of racing here at Skagit Speedway, and Rico Abreu gets it done.
Yeah, Rico Abreu sweeps the weekend. I think the first driver since 2002, I think it was Daniel Lasoski, that swept a three-day weekend with the National Series. So that was impressive. He walked out of here with $156,000. Mm-hmm. Had to earn it every night, though. First two nights started 7th, and last night started, I think, 4th, was it?
3rd or 4th? It was right in there.
He was not on the front row.
He started 3rd.
Okay. So, he had to work his way there, obviously a little bit easier. But he was high-point guy, so the worst he knew he was starting in the top 8. The worst he was going to redraw on the dash was 4th. But he had to earn it each night, which was fun to watch. And the first night, you could really see it. The first night, to me, I felt like he was the fastest car on the track, and it wasn't even close. The second night, he had to work a little bit harder, and Saturday was just a masterclass.
The first two nights, okay, he came from 7th, got it. Second, you looked faster, I agree. Second night, I think he still looked like the fastest car.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly didn't think he was going to get Saturday. Going into Saturday, I was like, yeah, give me a Rico. And then watching how well Justin Peck was getting around, I wasn't sure if Rico was going to get there. My confidence was like, oh, man, he's been fast. But Justin, started second. He got that job, or started first, and just kind of ran away with it. I was like, wow. But, man, Rico, 1A, 1B, him and Justin Peck for being the fastest cars that night.
Yeah, 5 straight wins for him here at Skagit Speedway. It's turning into, and I think that's 6 of the last 9, I want to say here off the top of my head. 5 straight, though, is pretty impressive. And Justin Peck had a great weekend, too, a weekend that they need. Both teams really needed a strong bounce back, and the high limit points have been all over the map. Rico came in 3rd, now he's leading high limit points. Brad Sweet came in leading, and now he's 3rd in points, and it's like Brad had a really hard weekend, and the high limit points battle is incredible. They kick things off tonight at Tuscarora 50, one of my favorite races of the year. If you're watching or if you're listening, make sure to watch the Tusky 50. Port Royal Speedway is arguably one of my favorite tracks in the country. I can tell you on the all-star schedule, we sanctioned the Tusky 50 all 9 years, and it was always my favorite race on the schedule. I was hoping I could get out there this year, being that we're off, but it just didn't work out. But that'll be fun. And we had a great week of racing here, though. Solid crowds. We had an incredible crowd on Saturday. It was booming. So that's encouraging. I talked to another promoter on the West Coast just about an hour ago and said it was encouraging to see the big crowds because people responded. We obviously spent a lot of money. We upped the purse a lot. Friday's purse doubled. Saturday, we took a big leap on Saturday going to 126,000 win. And we appreciate the fans responding and showing that they appreciate it. And we had a great field of cars, too. Obviously, we had Calistoga running NARC against us, and that took another handful of cars away from us. But a good field. Good field.
The buzz all weekend was strong.
It was.
You can go back to the inaugural Kevin and Monica's High Roller Boulder Tournament, where as late as that was to announce, and that wasn't the intent. That just ended up being, hey, things had to get put together. Mm-hmm. Ducks had to be put in a row before anything could be announced, and that's why it was announced so late. Even starting on that Wednesday, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there was just a buzz around the Skagit Nationals and an aura of excitement that it felt like the fans had, that they wanted to, you know, be here. So we thank you to all the fans that came and everyone who watched on Flow. Hopefully, maybe, you know, you'll make a next trip out into Skagit.
Yeah, we hope you can make it out here. I feel like we turned a lot of heads this week on the national scene and show what Skagit can be. I heard, you're going to hear Tyler Thompson talk about how our surface was this week and how you could move around, and he ran so many different lines, and that's what we've seen so much at Skagit this year is you can move around a lot. I mean, Jeff's thrown a lot at the mm-hmm. – Jeff is our track prep guy. He's thrown a lot at the racetrack through this summer. I mean, watering different, tilling different, mm-hmm. Just to get notes in his notebook and see what works and what doesn't work. And I think we found some things, and Jeff's done a nice job throwing different things at our racing surface. And to me, I like that because I like that some of the weeks our track's heavy and maybe not quite as wide, a little bit narrow, but you can go up above that cushion, cushion that when it's in the middle, and find something to make it work. Some of these racetracks I've seen this year where guys maybe aren't as thrilled, I sit here and think like, man, Colby Thornhill would feast on this track. But I like that. I told John Hager, our GM here, that if you're the same every week, it gets a little bit boring. Mm-hmm. Like, guys figure it out. But if you throw them curveballs all the time, they don't know what to prepare for, and that makes it a little bit more exciting from our aspect of getting different winners and making them have to adjust and make them think a little bit more down in the pit area.
Yeah, well, we talked about with Tyler Thompson, you'll hear later, is he likes being able to kind of, you know, have to learn the track. And you reference Port Royal as a track that, you know, when the track's different, what'd you say, 18 races, 14 different winners, something like that? So, you know, I agree. I think it's been fun to watch, but I feel like the overwhelming consensus this weekend from a lot of guys I've heard is how much they enjoyed the track.
Yeah.
Over the all 3 days, is how much they could search from the bottom to the top and they could find a line depending where they wanted to run.
I mean, and it gets dusty here, but I feel like that's when Skagit really races well, is when
you
it gets a little dirtier.
Dust,
but
though,
you can see
weekend.
Through it, and say people, you know, some people want to say, where's the water truck? And I heard that for 10 years with the All-Stars in Ohio, mm-hmm. and our dirt's very similar to the dirt in Ohio. You can throw a lot of water at it, and it doesn't always retain it.
It's just
not
sandy and
it's
silty.
It's sandy and silty. Mm-hmm. It's not real conducive to holding on to moisture, and we've tried a lot of different things to help fix that a little bit, putting different additives in it to kind of, not additives, but different ways about it to try to get it. And sometimes it doesn't always hold the moisture, and then you add the fact you've got almost 44 tens on it. I mean, that's going to create dust just naturally. I feel like if we had 360s this weekend, it wouldn't have been near as dusty, but the racing was good. And just know, I mean, we're trying hard. We know that we're trying to knock the dust down as much as we can, mm-hmm. but also keep the racetrack as wide as we possibly can too. And it's kind of that happy medium to find, and we're working on it. Don't think that we're not trying.
And I'll make the note too and defend the water comment. Sure, it's dusty, but you can watch Skagit when the sun goes down. There is moisture in the track because it comes back up. It's not like the drivers aren't finding moisture. The moisture comes back up. So yes, it's dusty. Yes, it's silty, but there is still moisture in the racetrack. It comes back up when the sun goes down. And that's, I've always thought, one of the fun things to watch, because it's that transition from day to night and who's going to find where that moisture comes back up.
Yeah, because we're about 8 miles off the water. So in the grand scheme of things, it's not terribly far from the water. So it does affect us a little bit when things move around out mm-hmm. in the water. You know, it affects our water table here. But yeah, it can be dusty and there's still a lot of moisture in that racetrack. As you said, when that sun dips down and it cools off here, which it does quite a bit, mm-hmm. especially compared to like the Midwest, where when it dips down here, it goes from 75, 80 degrees, and that's a different 75, 80 degrees than back home in Iowa. It's hoodie weather at night most nights. I mean, I've quickly learned living out here in the Pacific Northwest for a year and a half now. You have jeans and hoodies with you at all times.
That's what I'm wearing.
That's what you're wearing right now. And it's, you know, you got to be, you're prepared for it at all times. And that moisture does mm-hmm. start to come up, and that, we see that track change a lot around the 8:30 time period right now, because the sun's dipping down and the moisture's coming back up as the temperature drops, which is, to me, it's fun to watch.
Oh, I think it's
throws
a lot
those
of fun
guys curveballs. Yeah. And I like that. I like that. Maybe the crew guys don't like it because they got to work a little bit harder, but I like that.
That's
it
racing.
Makes those guys think back there. Yeah. I mean, if I wanted where they didn't have to think as hard, we'd go pavement racing every week.
I was waiting for that. Yeah. Exactly. I'll make the argument you still have to think in pavement as someone who enjoys.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm not diminishing
yes. pavement, no, you're not saying it's single file. There's a lot. It's a different style of mm-hmm. racing, and it certainly, I mean, I saw a lot of that when I worked for USAC when we had a lot of pavement races still on the schedule.
Yeah.
But I like that dirt is ever-changing. Pavement, mm-hmm. you can see the change coming yeah. for a while. You can see, but dirt, I mean, under
one
yellow,
lap it'll be. One,
under yellow, a yellow, mm-hmm. the track can completely change. You know, mm-hmm. when tires cool down a little bit, moisture can come back up or go, you know, you lose it. It changes on the flip of a dime at times, especially here at Skagit. But great weekend, highly successful. We're off this weekend, September 6th. So we'll talk about a little bit later, you know, Deming's racing, but we hope you can come back. It's hard to believe, Eric, 3 weekends left in our schedule.
It's went like
first responders night, the 13th with the 410s, mm-hmm. and then Skagit Casino night with our nights
season championship,
with
yeah.
season championship, the 19th and 20th. And Mel Decker presents the Survive the 55.
Woo!
So we're quickly winding yeah. down. And I was telling, you know, I was talking to my mom and dad the other night, and I said, it's hard to believe. I mean, the biggest adjustment for me moving up here is I'm not racing 90 times a year now. You know, I'm getting yeah. 30 races in a year, which the last time I went racing, I don't know if I've ever.
Has that been weird?
It's been very weird. You know, growing up, it was at least 2 nights a week, every week, bare minimum 2 a week. And during the summer, sometimes more, because dad and I yeah. go see specials. But growing up, it was Marshalltown every Friday and Boone every Saturday, and occasionally a trip down to Knoxville if Boone rained out or during the Nationals. But, you know, out here, it's pretty much I get to Deming most weeks.
You're getting some of that with Deming a little bit.
But, you know, it's hard to count those as full nights because, as you know, a lot of times at yeah. Deming, I'm getting up there a main time.
I'll give sometimes you get there before yeah.
sometimes a tick before, but depending on how busy we are here. But
one time.
But you know, pretty much here. And here, I don't hardly see the – I mean, I never have seen less racing than I'm seeing now. I mean – Skagit Nationals, the racing I saw, the A-mains. Mm. I would dip out for the A-mains, and I didn't see a lap of a heat race, didn't see any of the dashes, didn't see B-mains. I mean, literally the A-main, and a couple of the nights I missed, the first 2 nights I missed the start of the A-main both yeah. nights. But we're busy, and that's good. I mean, honestly, mm. if I'm not seeing racing, that means things
that
are
means
busy.
Busy.
I don't
yep.
have time to dip away, which is great.
You're stocking the
that
beer.
Means we've got a lot happening here, and I certainly appreciate that. I'd rather be tied up than sitting here twiddling my thumbs like, oh, I can go watch racing, which yeah. I love to do, but if I'm not watching racing, that means we're busy. So yeah. that's good. We like that here at Skagit. We're growing, and that's good. I think things are certainly trending in the right direction here at Skagit oh, yeah. Speedway, but it's taken a lot of work, and we've done the work. I mean, you and Carla are out a lot promoting Skagit Speedway to different audiences, and I think
yeah.
that's we're reaping the rewards of that. We've gone at, you know, Lisa's throwing a lot more at social media, a lot of
oh,
different
yeah.
strategies.
She's been doing a really good job with
and
it.
We're seeing it there. Emma does a phenomenal job on Saturday nights with our social media on race nights and has learned a lot. And I think she's really mm-hmm. grabbed a hold of that role, which has been good to see because, you know, you never know. I think but
she made a nice video that did well with the trophy. Quiz,
yeah. I mean,
so.
That's the little things like yeah. that. I mean, Emma's kind of grabbed a hold of it and owned it. And it's nice because Lisa doesn't have to worry about mm-hmm. her as much. Lisa can, you know, do her race night duties
yep,
and not worry about what's happened on social media, which is good, and that's what we need.
It's all about the team in place, and
I think we're definitely trending in the right direction, mm-hmm. and that's been fun to see, and hopefully some other tracks start to follow because a rising tide lifts all boats, in my opinion.
I agree. Before we get to our conversation with Tyler Thompson, you bring up the Tusky 50. Trey Starks, one of our local
yeah.
drivers. If you're looking to support a local and watch some national racing, go watch Trey Starks this weekend in the Jason Myers 14 ride. At the Tusky 50, that's gonna be really fun. I'm excited to see how he does. I think he'll do well.
I mean,
he'll do really well.
Trey raced there 25 times when he lived out in Central Pennsylvania full time there for a couple years. Has a pair of wins. Got an All Star win at the night
okay.
before the 50.
You were
called
there.
That
yep.
one. Yep, Scott. He was in Scott Gobrick's car. Scott owns part of Lincoln Speedway and
okay.
Babs Motor Speedway. So, and owned a car for a long time. Doesn't anymore. But Scott's an awesome dude. And Trey went out there and raced for him for a handful of years and in the Midwest and was very successful before he came home. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the same team he got his win for at the Knoxville Nationals prelim. But Port Royal is a place that I feel like when Trey left Central Pennsylvania, he was finally grabbing a hold of Port Royal. Because you look at his results to start and they weren't maybe the greatest. But by the end, he was pretty much in contention every night at Port. So I'm excited to see how he does.
Me too.
Trey's super talented. And
yeah.
we're lucky that we have him here each week, and maybe some of the teams don't think that, but I think that Trey being good, once again, Trey being good has raised the level of the competition out
drivers
here.
Drivers have said it, yeah.
You look at, I will fight this tooth and nail with somebody. I feel like our top eight-ish teams are significantly better than they were 18 months ago. Oh, yeah. And a lot of that's because they know they have to
high
go
limit.
Exactly. I mean, at one point Saturday night, as I said in the Tyler Thompson interview, three of the top four cars were Skagit Speedway local cars. And the car that Tyler Thompson was in, that's a Skagit local car in our Sportsman Sprints, which is, if you're not familiar with Skagit Speedway and happen to run across this podcast, it's a restricted 360, but a lot of our guys are on the RaceSaver 305 equivalent motor. That's not exactly a 305, but it's equivalent, for lack of better terms. And look at the RaceSaver right now. Our points leader's in a RaceSaver. Mm-hmm. You know, the last 4 or 5 weeks, the RaceSaver's run super strong. With, you know, Jaden's in a RaceSaver, and he's been very fast. And Macy Logston's in a RaceSaver, and she's picked up a win. So it's been super competitive, which is great to see. But that's a car that runs that division weekly, and now they hop into a 410 and found a lot of success. So that's good to see, and hopefully that's a team that we can get in a 410 in the coming years.
Yeah, and there's one of the joys of a 410 is, I'm going to make it sound simple, you can pull one, you can pull a motor out of a sprint car and put another motor in just like that, and that's
it's the beauty of things.
Easy, quote-unquote, thing. It's easier said than done, but for the most part, you can't take a micro sprint and, you know, make a junior or a 600 open, but you can make a sporty a 410 with
you can't make a modified a late model.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
It would be wild. But yes, I mean, that's kind of the beauty of things is they mix and match it. And we talk a lot about Tyler. They mixed and matched and it worked. So that's been fun. But we had a great chat with Tyler, about a half hour long. He was on his lunch break and we learned a little bit about what he does full time, what his goals are. We were kind of all over the map, but it was interesting to hear him chat about everything that we threw at him.
Yeah, with that, enjoy our conversation with Tyler Thompson. Well, this week on the Gas, we bring in our very special guest, Tyler Thompson. Tyler, thank you so much for joining us today, coming off a really strong three nights here at Skagit Speedway during the Skagit Nationals. Tyler, how are you doing today?
Good. Just another day at work. So trying not to daydream too much while I'm supposed to be doing my job.
How special was this weekend for you? I feel like it was, I mean, us on the West Coast, we know, obviously, I feel like you're kind of one of the undercover drivers on the West Coast that maybe doesn't get the love he deserves. But this weekend, I feel like you put that on full display for the country to see. So how cool has it been as you get to look back on how successful Skagit Nationals was for you?
Yeah, it was really cool. I think that's a place that, you know, I've been to for a couple of years and just struggled so much up there. And I wouldn't say I was really underrated. I just had never really, I felt like, proved myself or got one of those races to really, you know, prove that I can do it. And I felt like this weekend we were finally able to put the whole weekend together and kind of accomplish that.
What do you feel like made that difference for you this weekend?
I feel like it's a combination of things, really. It's so hard to pinpoint. I think obviously in racing it takes a little bit of luck, but you know, I thought the first night we went out early and that was kind of our worst night, where the second night we went out late and qualified good. So I just thought it was a good car. I was really happy with how the motor ran that they had, and I think it's just a huge combination of just, you know, getting the whole weekend together. It's not like we could probably go duplicate it the next weekend, but it was just a successful weekend.
I was telling some buddies back home, your story was pretty neat. I mean, you talk about a week before Skagit Nationals, obviously you get let go from the main motorsports car, and that was a surprise to everyone as you're sitting second in NARC points, and I don't think anyone saw that coming. I mean, that was like, what? When Joseph Terrell texted me that was going on, to then you get in this ride that is a sportsman sprint ride here that runs weekly at Skagit Speedway in our sporties, and then the 410 from Brock Lemley and a 410 that hasn't run a whole lot the past year and a half, and that combination was good enough to put you in the mix with the top cars in the country. I mean, what a whirlwind it has to be.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I talked to a lot of people beforehand just trying to explain, you know, what the ride was, like whose motor it was, whose car it was, whose operation it was. And at the end of it, though, I really felt confident in what we'd have. I was really happy with that motor. I got to run it in Brock's car earlier this year. And I didn't know Jeff super well, but I looked, you know, they had won 4 of their 9 races this year. And it seemed like he'd been around for a while. So it was like, I really think this combination is going to work good, and I'm just happy it did.
I know there's still been some people who are confused. What is this pairing? It's Jeff Needham who owns the car, and it's Brock Lemley's motor, right? Is there anything else besides that?
No, it's just a really fun group, and yeah, it's Jeff's car, and Brock has a motor. Jeff has a motor as well. I think we're going to run on the 13, but Brock's kind of trailer, mule. Brock had more wheels. Jeff's, I think, still fairly new to getting his operation together, so
yeah. Okay.
It was kind of a combo deal, and I really didn't even know what it consisted of before I arrived that day. I kind of talked to Brock about it, but I'm like, are we going to be able to buy new tires, or what's this going to look like? And it just, it worked out really good. Everybody worked really hard, and everybody was super prepared and excited for the chance. And like I said, I'm just glad it paid off for everyone that was involved.
How did it come together? Because,
yeah.
I mean, you look
so
at,
did you, get the
you
phone
got
call?
Friday, the week before the event. So literally 6 days before we kicked off Skagit Nationals, you were in the main motorsports car. And how did it come together in that 5-6 days?
It's pretty funny. Me and Brock, I felt like last year we both got in a wreck at Dirt Cup, and I didn't know Brock super well before that. I actually, when I was a kid, drew a pill for him at Willamette Speedway a long time ago, and I was always a Brock Lemley fan. But anyways, racing together, we just never really, you know, talked or anything like that. But last year at Dirt Cup, we both wrecked, and he lended me a car to finish the weekend out.
I forgot.
And we stayed in touch.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, we stayed in touch since then, so... We've been really wanting to kind of run together. We put together a weekend earlier in the year, and I was really hoping to do more, but my schedule was just too busy. And that Saturday, so Friday was when Gold Cup, when we decided to part ways. And Saturday morning, I'm like, man, I really want to call Brock, but I don't want to force him into running a race that he doesn't want to run. You know, I don't want to put a lot of pressure on him. So I'm like, I'll call him later and just maybe see what he has to say. Well, Saturday morning, I got a call from Brock, and he said, hey, I was maybe going to run this. He was going to run the car actually originally, but he's like, we'd really like you to run it if you want to do it. And it was pretty easy to say yes to that.
I feel like Brock likes running it, but watching him on the owner side at Deming Speedway and then kind of seeing him at the owner side here, I feel like, and Tyler, correct me if I'm wrong, he's definitely fit into and adjusted well to being a car owner and finding joy and excitement in that too.
Yeah, I think Brock, I feel like I'm really similar to him. We just love competition. We love racing, and we love winning. So anytime you can be a part of that, whether it's in the car, working on the car, it's just really enjoyable. And, yeah, I was kind of nervous to see what his reaction would be, but I almost think he was more excited than me at some points of the weekend. So that was a really cool part of it. Like I said, it's fun to win for yourself, but, man, when you have a – I mean, not even win just to run good, but when you have a good group around you, it's just so much more fun to see their excitement.
So what's the plan the rest of the year? You mentioned probably up here the 13th, which is our next race next weekend, a week and a half from now. But do you have any plans beyond that? Do you know?
My whole goal of going up there this weekend and running with Brock was I need to talk him into running Trophy Cup.
There we go.
And Thursday night, he was like, pretty much, he said, the wife approved Trophy Cup. So I'm like, okay, we're good. And then... after Friday night's run, they had booked a house for Trophy Cup, so we were fully in for Trophy Cup. So
that's great.
As
news.
Of now, by the Saturday, me and Jeff had talked a little bit. It's so unofficial, like we really don't know. But it was like the 13th, we want to come up and run one more race, and then honestly, beyond that, just having this weekend off, running the 13th, and maybe filling in. Thought about coming up for the modified race and seeing if they would maybe be interested in running on the 27th, but. I haven't even talked to him about it yet, so...
One at a time, right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
So, I want to look back. How did you get to this point in your racing career? What did your early stages of racing look like for you?
Yeah, I think I could write a whole book at this point, but it's definitely been a story and interesting at that, but definitely my great-grandpa, he started in racing, and then my dad raced sprint cars for years, and... then it was on to go-karts. He bought me and my sister a go-kart to share. Well, that lasted a little bit before we both had our own. And it was just running cage karts. And definitely the Oregon scene's just not as big as even Washington or California. So a lot of it was just running a lot in Oregon. And we tried to travel with go-karts. And then when we got into sprint cars, we tried to travel a little bit. But it was more of just, you know, focused on Oregon, running as much as we could, always budget racing. I got into sprint cars at 14, but it was from a lot of help from Brian Crockett and Like I said, I could go on and on about how I've got to where I'm at, but it's just been a fun journey, and it was really really rewarding this weekend.
How neat has it been this year to get to go down and race in California and really kind of test your talents against the California cars on a week, almost week in, week out basis? And you really showed that you can do it as you were sitting second in ARC points.
Yeah, I wouldn't say California is definitely one of the top regions, I think. And just for the aggressiveness of the drivers down there and the racetracks that you're put on, some of them are a little narrow. Some of them are tight corners. They can be rough, hooked up. So it really puts you in a lot of uncomfortable positions, in my opinion. Like, you really got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think it's just really helped make me versatile. And I knew it would. We were just kind of struggling down there a little bit to get results. You know, we had some top five runs, but just so tough to win down there, especially with Justin Sanders down there every weekend or most weekends. That guy is he's just so good right now. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. I feel like it's made me 10 times a better driver than what I was, and hoping to get to do it more, hopefully some more this year and hopefully more next year too.
What were your favorite tracks to run down there?
It's hard to say. I mean, obviously Tulare's at the top of the list, even though we didn't really run super good. Chico's a place I felt like I've gotten really comfortable around. I really like Chico. Placerville, that's a love-hate relationship. That's a really tough place. And man, you watch it and their locals are just so good once you get down there. It's just a tough place to race, and it will eat you up fast. You can have one bad corner and lose 8 spots. It's incredible. So definitely, I mean, even Ocean, it's a cool place. It's narrow straightaways, but it's a lot of fun to race. I think I really enjoyed all the places. They all have, you know, unique characteristics, and it was just cool to see. I think we were going to go to 6 new racetracks this year, and it was just interesting to see each one, how each one operated, and just a lot of fun.
You talked about growing up in Oregon and kind of the Oregon racing scene. There's really, besides when Highland comes, one 410 show, and that's it. Was that ever a struggle trying to find a 410 show and having to go and travel because it wasn't as locally in Oregon?
I mean, the 410s weren't even really an option, I would say, for many years when I ran sprint cars. There was the NARC deal down south, and there wasn't an Oregon race. There was no outlaw race, no NARC deal coming through Oregon. So I didn't even really ever imagine running a 410 for a long time until they started putting the NARC deal together and we were able to put something together. But no, 410s, I'm super glad we got into them. I'm super glad it's building. I feel like the whole West Coast is building. And I think we have a couple Oregon races between the NARC Speed Week and then the High Limit Show. So it's cool to have that. It'd be so nice to have a weekly series down here. We just don't have the cars for it.
So do you think that's ever feasible?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that's something that could happen? I feel like right now I'm hearing some rumblings of potential, you know, maybe weekly 360 track coming back or some more 360 races, hopefully leading to 410 races, just budget things more than anything. But do you feel like you guys are trending back in the right direction, maybe a little bit of a heartbeat down in Oregon?
I don't know. It's just so tough. It's obviously with sprint cars come bigger purses, and it's really tough for the racetracks to kind of put that forward. And I think it was cool. I hope some of them learned from Skagit. You know, I feel like if you put in the purses and put in the work, it can build and you know, become worth it. But I just don't know if any of them have that risk right now to be able to do that. And I think another thing, like I said, we just don't have the cars. If you look at how many actual sprint cars are in Oregon, is just really low right now. So I really hope it does build to that, and we'll always support that. I just don't see it happening right now.
It's a tough scene down there. I feel like it's really gone kind of the IMCA heavy route. The modifieds, I mean, I don't know if a lot of our listeners realize, but the Oregon modified scene is pretty dang tough.
Yeah, and it's, you know, obviously you got to have a feeder class, and we have cage carts, but when you see a kid graduate from cage carts right now, they're more going to modifieds or stock cars, street stocks, and they're not really going to sprint cars. And then you also look at, you know, big car owners in Oregon. Well, Tanner, I mean, they're kind of a family-owned car, and then I own my car, so it's like we don't have big car owners to supply those rides and certain things like that. So it's really tough. I don't think it's from lack of effort from anybody. It's just a tough scene right now.
Was there ever a chance that Tyler Thompson wouldn't have become a sprint car driver and you maybe would have went in the modified stock car route? Or was it always sprint car racing in your progression?
It was always sprint car racing. I'm a huge fan of modifieds. I love modifieds. I love late models. I got to drive a modified a little bit, and definitely something I want to do more. But, man, just the fun is in, I feel like, modifieds and late models are a lot of fun. But just the competition of a sprint car, how they work, the aero, all that stuff, like, that's where my passion is. That's what I want to do every weekend. And I don't mind running a modified maybe 5-10 times a year, but beyond that, I want to be in a sprint car.
What do you think when you come back up here in a couple of weeks? I mean, do you think that maybe the 20th is even a possibility to come up here and run our season championship night, being that that's a little bit different format this year?
I'm just not sure. Like I said, I'm just a driver, so I know how much work it goes into.
We'll work on red for you.
It takes a lot of work to get these cars to the racetrack, so yeah. It's easy for me to plan that, but that's more up to them on how much, you know, work and how fast they want to turn around. And I know Steven was running the car. He ran 2 360 shows, so maybe they'll want to run him. And Brock's been having Peyton drive, so I'm not sure where their head's at either. Like, we just kind of enjoyed the weekend, and we'll hopefully get some more talking in and kind of schedule things out some more.
Does that ever stress you out, or do you just kind of go with the flow and you have confidence, hey, you know, I'll get another ride when I do?
I think it kind of goes with having my own car. I feel pretty confident, you know, if we need to take my car to Skagit, we'll take my car to Skagit. So okay. Just kind of being able to lean on that and fill that in with weekends that are off. Obviously, it's nice to have good opportunities to go run the majority of the time, but I'm always willing to, you know, take my car places and go run when we need to.
What do you do for a day job?
Actually, I graduated in December from Oregon State, and I think
great.
I started in March. I'm an electrical engineer, so I get to sit at a desk and stare at a screen pretty much all day. But
big beaver guy.
Yep, big beaver guy. But I really enjoy my work. I've had a lot of people ask, like, man, do you want to go, you know, would you want to go high limit racing, or would you want to go, fans ask that, and I'm like, man, I love my work, and I want to race for fun, and especially like this past weekend, you know, I just want to race for fun. That's it. And definitely want to be competitive, but I definitely want to have a good time doing it as well.
That was one of the biggest things I took away when I quickly chatted with you on Thursdays. You're like, man, it's just a good group of people, and it's fun to come run. And I think that speaks a lot to, you know, you can run wherever, but if you're not having fun, you know, is it really worth it?
Yeah, and I think that stems from when I started getting into sprint cars. My dad's family was always big into racing, and they'd go watch his races. But through the go-kart years, just didn't see them as much. And then when I got into sprint cars after the races, you know, we'd have 20, 30 people there just all enjoying it and having a good time. And like I said, it's fun to go win an event on your own, but when you have 20 or 30 people back there smiling and excited, it just makes it so much more worth it. So that's kind of what I got when I ran for Brock earlier this year, was like, holy smokes, do we really have like 25 people in our trailer right now? Like, are we even going to be able to do anything tonight? But it's so much fun. And like I said, it's just as much fun for me to win as it is to see somebody else smiling and enjoying the moment.
You'd mentioned you'd kind of struggled at Skagit off and on. What makes Skagit so difficult? We hear some guys talk about that, and then you see, you know, our Skagit locals, I think, turned a lot of heads this past weekend. There, at one point during the Saturday night A main, three of the top four cars were Skagit local cars.
I mean, I could go in a bunch of different avenues with this, but I just, in my honest opinion, I feel like Skagit takes some really good equipment to get around there. I think you got to have a really good motor. You got to have a really good car too, but having a really good motor up there is a big deal, and knowing how to tune it for that atmosphere. And I think the air gets really good up at Skagit, so you got to have a motor that can, you know, take as much horsepower as you can. And having a triple X and people have been up there and having a Shark Racing engines, I think all that kind of factored into what we were able to do. And just having people that run there weekly, I think that's a big, big thing, knowing what the track's going to do. And Jeff did a really good job at, you know, working on the car all night, even on the final night, just from hot laps to the dash, or hot laps to our qualifier, we got better. And then our qualifier to the dash, we got better. And then dash to main event, we got better. So just kind of having that expertise up there is super helpful. And like I said, even just the engine program, being a Shark, from being up there and knowing what to do with the motor, is a big deal.
You referenced kind of tuning on it throughout the night. Did you guys have to do a lot of tuning to get it where you want, or did you roll out of the box for the most part pretty close and it was a easier, in air quotes, you know, 3 days of just, you know, couple setup changes here or there throughout the night to keep up with the track?
I'm a big complainer. I like to be perfect. So I think a lot of drivers are in the same boat, but it was, you know, it's, you can be close. I think we rolled out really close, but close with high limit isn't gonna get you very far. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of, man, I think the high speed's, you know, here or there. I think the gear's here or there. And even on the final night, we had a small stumble in hot laps, and I'm like, I don't know what it is, but we need to try and do something to fix it. So we put all new spark plugs in and changed coil wires. So I think it's just, you know, searching, getting that feeling of being perfect at some point in your career and then just chasing that every weekend. And I felt like that's what we kind of did this weekend. And even I was pretty satisfied with the car, but I think Jeff deserves a lot of credit for always asking me, like, I know it was good, but we need to, you know, find something to tune on this thing, like keep getting a little bit better. And he did a really good job of doing that.
I hear you reference high speed. What do you mean when you reference that?
Yeah, the high speed clicks off at a certain RPM and it kind of leans the motor out, and it really kind of changes how the motor runs throughout a run. Like I always think if your high speed's too high, you know, it can overload itself with fuel. And we kind of did that on, I think it was Thursday night in qualifying. So it's just all those little motor tuning things that are really dependent on how precise your motor runs and how good it runs. And I thought by that main event on Saturday night, that thing was running as good as it could get.
What was it? What's it like to kind of, I mean, you hopped in a car this weekend that was a relatively unknown for you. I mean, you'd worked a little with Brock, but never with Jeff. What kind of hurdles does that present? How did you guys gel so fast to be, I mean, really quick out of the gates? I mean, that's not easily done.
I think it's a little bit of, you know, just trusting it, trusting Jeff, trusting the motor. Mm-hmm. I was really excited about the motor. Like I said, I had looked at my race pass at all of Steven's results with Jeff, and they had ran good. So I felt good about, you know, they got a car that can get around here, and just not overthinking it. You know, I could have got in the car and said, hey, I want these shocks, I want this, these bars. And I said, honestly, Jeff, just do whatever you would do, and, you know, we'll hot lap it and then just go from there. And that's kind of what we did. I even anticipated we'd have to make some other changes. And pretty much the only thing we changed after hot laps was the knee guard. I ripped that thing out because it was a little too tight. But other than that, it was just kind of tuning off of what their program was, because I thought their program was already pretty good. And I feel like I've been in enough different cars. You know, I drove Doug Roots' car. I drove, you know, the 35 car, my car, that you kind of just, you know what you need, know where you need to be on the racetrack, and just hope the race car's there for you to do it. And if it's not, then you just keep working on it.
When you came up, did you bring your own seat with you? Did you want the, you know, the heel blocks moved back at all, or did you pretty much slide in and you're just good to go?
I'm pretty good at not having to adjust too much. I brought my own seat. I always bring my own steering wheel. I'm going to start bringing my own knee guard now. but other than that, it's, you know, I feel like if you have a comfortable seat, that's the biggest part. And just getting comfortable in the car, and yeah, and honestly, everything's, the seat barely fit in. I don't know if we were going to get it out with the halo they have, so we kind of had to leave it in. But no, everything fit in good. Like I said, after hot laps, I tried to make the knee guard work and said, no, we got to get this thing out. But other than that, it's just a comfortable fit. All cars are pretty similar in how they're built, and seat bars are the same, A-frame's the same, so wasn't too big of a deal. And running Brock's car, it was a triple X too, so it was pretty much the holes lined up and everything went in good.
That's what I was going to ask. Was it everything triple X for you? Because you hear guys talk about how they really like the feel of a triple X or a Maxim, and what it's like to maybe hop in a different chassis, if that would have brought up some hurdles for you.
Yeah, I actually run X1 race cars built by Ryan Lender. Yep. Yeah, they're out of Pennsylvania. So his cars, I love his cars, but they're different. They have, I feel like the seat bar is a little bit lower, the A-frame's pushed back, and the steering gear's forward. So they're the most unique to get in, although when you're in them, I feel like they're the most comfortable. But like I said, being in Brock's Triple X earlier this year, I felt like we actually had a good night, other than we didn't have brakes. So just, we had built confidence in those cars. But jumping in Jeff's car and telling him, like, you know, we got to have really good brakes, that was the only stipulation I had. But no, it was pretty easy to transition. I was super happy with them. Like I said, I just put a lot of trust in the motor program and Jeff, and I think that's kind of what paid off the most was not really overthinking things.
Was your car at Main Motorsports? Was that at X1 too?
No, that was a Maxim. And okay. Like I said, the Maxims are good. I don't think it's really a preference on cars. I think they're all pretty good. And it's just more of knowing what you have. And that's what like I said, I was confident with Jeff. They had known that car. They know what it is. He knew what it needed. So just knowing what kind of car you got and not trying to search too much.
You've been in a little bit of everything this year then, bouncing around.
I have KPCs at home too that I ran for years. So that's why I said, I think...
Okay, so you have no problem switching chassis.
Yeah, that's no big hurdle for you at all then.
Yeah, especially getting in a car. Like I said, you kind of, you know, when you first do it, you kind of think of the differences about the car. But once you've done it a couple of times, you just blur that out. And, you know, where do I need to be on the racetrack and how do I need to go fast? So it was a pretty easy transition. I had done it enough that I think that kind of helped, you know, start the weekend off pretty good.
So I know you say you don't want to go high limit racing. You're enjoying your job. What are your aspirations in racing? Where do you see your career going, and where do you kind of want it to continue to go?
I mean, that's such a tough question. Obviously, if I got a high limit opportunity, I'd definitely consider. But No, I don't know. Honestly, a weekend like this was what I was really searching for. Just something I really want a 410 win. Just stuff to prove to yourself that you can do it. And I felt like we got most of that this weekend, but you're still searching for more, or you always will search for more. And I'm not really sure. I'd love to travel a little more. I really want to get back to Pennsylvania, Iowa. I want to try those tracks back there, and definitely Knoxville Nationals. That's on the list of things I want to go try and do. And just kind of searching for those opportunities to get back there and just try different regions. Like I said, I think California's not my style of racetrack, but I grew comfortable there, and I'd love to get back to Pennsylvania. I think a little bit bigger, wider, slicker racetracks are kind of where I'd fit in a little bit better.
Port Royal sounds like it'd be right in your wheelhouse, because that place is big, wide, and it's slick. I always say it's a half mile that races like a quarter mile, the way you're bouncing off the boards at Port.
I think I might get a lot of slack for it, but I'd probably rather go to Port than Knoxville right now. Like, wow. I really want to go to that place. Man, I think
Port's awesome.
It's kind of like Skagit in a way. Like Skagit this weekend, you could search 15 different lines across the racetrack, and you can kind of do that at Port. You can, you know, slide yourself into one. You can diamond through the slick, and just places that have the wing speed to keep your car planted, and you can search around in is places I love to go. I feel like it really puts it in your hands as a driver rather than whoever can pound the top the hardest and the fastest and kind of get in line. I felt like Skagit was cool that you could. I ran 30 different lines in that main event on Saturday. Like, it was just so fun to search around. And even after cautions, a new line would come in because the water would come up. So just a cool place.
I feel like Port, I mean, nothing says more to what you were saying than Port's had 18 410 races this year, 14 different winners.
Jeez Louise.
So, I know. I mean,
that says a lot about the kind of the surface that they're providing is so different each week. And it really puts it in your guys' hands, which is kind of what we'd like to do here at Skagit, is put it more in the driver's hands. But we're getting there. I think our track prep's definitely just trying a lot different things with the racetrack this year, and we're adding a lot to the notebook this year.
Yeah, no, I was super happy with how the whole weekend went. Even Friday night, like I said, there are so many lines you could search, and I actually struggled on Saturday, kind of the midway point. I was trying to run the top where I'd normally been running the top and was struggling, and I watched Rico go by, and I'm like, wait, there's a cushion up by the fence. So finally went and found that and ran that for a while. But it was just cool how much the track transitioned and how many different lanes you could run. You didn't have to follow the guy in front of you. Even one of the restarts, I ran two lanes off the top and, you know, made good speed there. So it was really cool.
As a driver, do you like a track that you know what you're going to get from it? Or do you like a track that is kind of different from time to time and you have to have that ability to figure it out and set your car up to run it?
I like things that change. That's even as much as going out in the first heat race when nobody knows what the track is yet. You don't really know if it's going to be on the bottom or the top. Things like that, I think, you know, I feel like I excel at a little bit better. Things you can search for rather than, you know, if everybody knows, you know, there's a curb up top and you're gonna have to run it hard. It's kind of known for everybody where, you know, when a track changes a lot, you have to search around. You have to really understanding your speed. Like, you know, was that a good lap or was that a slow lap? It's hard to do, but it's something that I feel like I've gotten better at and understood. And that's what I think Skagit's kind of provided, is a place that, you know, you can really search around and kind of make your own line and make whatever you need for your car work really well.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you hear that a lot with Skagit, especially, you know, it's the nice thing about it. Our surface right now is it's super easy on tires, which keeps it easy for our teams. You know that as well as anyone, how quickly the tire bill can add up, and having the good surface for the tires makes it easy and allows you guys to put on a good show too.
Well, yeah, last year, Skagit Nationals, I mean, I have my own program at home, but I own it all and, you know, fund all of it, so I'm on a budget. So we went and raced the 35 car now Skagit Nationals last year, and I was looking around and I'm like, I told my mom and dad, we got to go get a U-Haul. So we went and got a U-Haul, and I think we brought home 70 tires last year for my car.
That's a lot.
But that's all my heat race tires for the year.
It's a huge
benefit for our race team. And my parents thought I was crazy, but it was like this. I mean, 70 tires, that's a lot of money in tires. And most of the ones that come off are, you know, in really good shape too. So it was probably a lot better than what normally run.
You mentioned owning your own car and having your own operation. What is that like? How do you balance, you know, how much you want to put into it versus, you know, you probably can't put everything and kind of self-funding it all?
Yeah, I think this year was the toughest, you know, committing to a team. Then I couldn't commit to my sponsors because we weren't, you know, running my car as much. So it made this year really tough. Trying to run for another team, but trying to, you know, keep funding set aside to make sure if we had to run our car, we could. So it's a tough balance. Like I said, obviously my life's still growing and, you know, I want a house and other things, but it's sprint cars. Like you want to invest everything you got in them. Even after this weekend, it's like, all right, I got to figure out a way to buy a new motor. Man, I really want something better, but it's a really tough balance. It's the prices aren't going down on cars and tires and parts, so it's getting pretty expensive, but definitely helps having places like Skagit that, you know, are bumping up the payout and the start money. I love to win, but I always look at, you know, what's tenth pay, what's the start money pay and stuff like that, and I think Skagit's done a good job with that.
What do you think, do you have any plans to run your family car at all the rest of the season?
No, the only race I was really looking at was Fall Nationals in Chico.
Okay.
We're kind of, I don't know, in a good spot. I don't have any wrecked race cars, so I kind of want to go into the wintertime where we're at. But kind of hopefully lean on Jeff and Brock. Like I said, we got Trophy Cup planned, and there really isn't that much left on the West Coast for the year. We could make a trip to California. I'm not sure if we're going to do that yet, but just kind of carry what we have into the winter. And I think next year, it's really hard to tell what we're going to have going, but I think Jeff and Brock were already pretty excited that, you know, we might run hopefully a certain amount of races with them and then get to run my family car a little bit more and hopefully build some more relationships with sponsors to be able to do that.
I feel like this weekend has been huge for you moving forward. Just my scope from, you know, left field.
Yeah.
It's been neat to see social media. I mean, I know that Steve at Master Gassers has always been beating the Tyler Thompson drum, and he was beating on it pretty proud this weekend.
Well, I think a lot of people, you know, I always believed that, like I said, it wasn't a high limit win, but I think it was a pretty respectable finish, and to do it for two nights was really big, and also doing it on Saturday night's huge, but it was big for me, big for my confidence. I always thought I could do it, but it's easy to tell people you can do it, but to actually, you know, put it on paper is another thing. So it was a big weekend for us. Big weekend for Brock and Jeff too. Like I said, I was hoping to plan more races with them next year. Well, that obviously gets them more excited. And I think it was just a huge weekend. I'm super thankful that I got to do it. And it's probably going to go a long ways.
Good. We couldn't have been more happy to have you here and to watch that success that you had this weekend, because, yeah, as Blake said, that was fun. But I don't have anything else, Blake.
Appreciate you taking some time out of your,
you get back to your lunch
away
break.
From lunch, and good luck the rest of the year. We'll hopefully see you here in a couple of weeks and then down at Trophy Cup. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. And like I said, appreciate everything you guys have done up there, and hopefully we'll put together a pretty – pretty stout schedule next year, but I think it's going to be a lot of Skagit Speedway, so that'll be a lot of fun.
We like hearing that. We're really trying to – we are focused on continuing to breathe life into 410s up here and prove that they can work on the West Coast, and I feel like if we can keep doing that up here, then we can show other tracks that it works, and hopefully we can get a couple other tracks to jump on board with us.
It was funny. I'd listen – I can't remember which podcast it was, but you said how, you know, people were considering moving up there, and I was talking to – I think I was on the podium to Kevin Rudine, and I'm like, man, you make it really hard not to move up here. And he said, just do it then. I'm like, it ain't that easy. So,
it's funny you say that because Kevin immediately grabbed me after the podium and said, hey, I did talk to Tyler Thompson about – I said that during Kev's podcast, and he said Tyler Thompson was the one that he said that, yeah, if it were easy, he would be up here a lot more. So hopefully we can see you more. That would be great. We appreciate every time you do come up here. We know it's a little bit of a toe for you, but we do greatly appreciate that you want to come race with us. That means a lot.
Yeah, I'm just happy me and Skagit Speedway are on a better relationship status. I'd been there. The first time I went there was in Roger Admin's 40, and we won.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot to ask about that.
In 2020, we led like 22 laps, a 360 show, and got passed in traffic. And ever since then, we have not had a good relationship. So.
Well, this weekend, you maybe righted that ship.
Yeah, we're in a little bit better spot. So,
I forgot you raced for Roger Aldman. I meant to ask about that. What was that like? And then we'll let you go. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it was a cool opportunity. That was my first time getting to drive somebody's car. And I thought the Sporty group was a pretty stout group then. And I kind of went up there just open-minded, same sort of thing. And shoot, we were fast right out of the get-go, and it was a good Sporty car. They had been running good all year, but that was a really cool one to win and made me really excited to go back to Skagit, and I have not been too happy with it ever since. So.
We're glad you're excited to come back now. We're glad that you can get that fixed.
Motivation's back. So.
Yeah, good. Love it.
All right, Tyler, thank you so much for joining us, and great job this past weekend.
Yeah,
really.
Nice work.
Awesome, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Welcome back, everybody. A great chat with Tyler Thompson there, and hopefully we'll see him next weekend as we're closed this weekend on September 6th. We encourage everyone to go up to Deming Speedway. They race Friday and Saturday, a two-day show up at Deming, and you can see a lot of current drivers that race here on Saturday nights and the future. I mean, you look at the ladder. We've talked about it so much in just the early goings of our podcast, Eric, that the Deming Speedway ladder is certainly there, and we're seeing guys climb it and work their way to Skagit, but going to be a fun week up at Deming Speedway, about 20-25 minutes up the road from us here, but non-wing micros this weekend. So
you're going to miss out, Blake Anderson.
Yeah,
I know college football's on. You could come up one night.
Yeah, I know, but college football's on. So that's
when does Iowa play, though?
Saturday morning.
Okay, so come – oh, so I don't even want to hear this college. Okay.
It's an hour and a half away, though, and it's like I look
at that. Yeah, that's
I
true.
Look forward
you can
to
actually go spend a weekend
at
home
day
with
where
CC.
I can spend a whole weekend with my dog, so –
okay.
Yeah, a year ago, last year, I absolutely would have been there, and it's nothing. Yeah. I love going to
no,
Deming Speedway.
I know,
that's where I'm there most
not,
Friday nights. But if I can spend a weekend with my dog and hang out, watch football, and walk and enjoy Seattle weather, then I think
that's forget you're not as close to the track.
Yeah,
when we're not racing. Yeah, because you're all – yeah.
So, I mean,
so
I'm,
that
I
makes
could
more
stay
sense.
At Hilliers, I'm sure. You know, stay somewhere up here. But I
you
want
to enjoy – yeah.
I'll maybe hit a high school game Friday night.
Oh,
we'll see.
High school football, and I've never seen it, but there are some really good high school football teams
yeah,
down
there's
south.
There's a lot of I kind of have a few kids that I've highlighted that I'd like to go see that are going to the next level, and I like seeing. I enjoy mm-hmm. high school athletics, seeing you know.
I do too.
Town pride, I get a kick out of that. But
my high
yeah,
school
we'll
plays
see.
Friday.
Yeah, you might have to go. Well, you'll be at Deming. That'll
yeah.
be all right.
Okay.
No, it'll be neat. Fast Four Media, if you can't, yeah. I might. That might be something I end up doing is, you know, buying the Fast Four Media Pass and having it on my iPad as I watch. We'll see. The IMC Super Nationals are going back home, too, at Boone Speedway. So there's a lot to watch. And Tuscarora 50 on Saturday night. So they're
starting
that
night
with college football. And the Outlaws are racing at Votto.
I am jealous. I am jealous.
We'll see. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of fly by the seat of my pants. So you never know. I may end up there at least one night. But yeah, we encourage everyone to go up to Deming Speedway.
Yeah,
go support the Lemley family. Go see a lot of the future stars at Skagit Speedway. You know, see what's coming up the ladder and see if you can spot maybe a future star at Skagit Speedway in the next couple of years. But
oh, there's
they do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
They have phenomenal food. Their concessions are, top notch. I look forward to. I hate it because they run out of walking tacos too early every night. So I have to rush up there to try to get them, but they got great walking tacos and really good food. They put on a great show. They run a quick program, which is great. They get you in, get you out. But that'll be a nice night. And then we're back in action on the 13th, Saturday, September 13th, for Nelson Reisner First Responders Night. If you're a first responder, you get in for $5. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we have a good crowd for that. The 410s are back in action, the IMCA Modified. And the Mighty Hornets, first time since Hornet Nationals that they're back on track. So it'll be the first time in about 6 weeks. Yeah. I did talk to Brian Michelson. We might see him in the next couple weeks.
Because he only ran the opening night of Hornet Nationals. And then
we might see him. I talked to him Friday night.
Does he have a car or is he just close to
buying?
He's working
on it.
Okay.
So, I talked to him. He was standing in the grandstands when we were picking up trash on Friday night. And I said, we're going to see you the next couple weeks. And he said, yeah, there's a chance. So hopefully we see Brian.
And the only reason they haven't ran is not because we didn't schedule them. Their last race just got rained out. We were trying to get them in, but as everyone that weekend got rained out. So that's the only reason, you know, the Hornets have been off since Hornet Nationals, not because they weren't scheduled. Yeah. They were just the unlucky time. That's, I think, their second race this year that they've been rained out. Because I think they were also supposed to run the
earlier
Armed Forces night. Also. So the poor Hornets have got hosed twice with the rain.
If you're not familiar with Skagit Speedway, we do have, you know, if you happen to be run across this listening, great, check us out. Yeah. SkagitSpeedway.com, follow us on social media as well. But we have six divisions that run here weekly per se. We run three of them a week. So we have six divisions, but we only run three of them a week. So it's not like we run all six on the same night. Yeah. No, we run three a week. So they kind of, the ebbs and flows of our schedule. Sometimes they're off for a month and then you throw a rain out in there and that really makes them sit for a while. But we're working through a lot of hurdles there. And I feel like we're getting our program down, really dialed in. We're done around 9:45 to 10 o'clock every single week. We get you in, get you out. And we know that you don't want to be trapped and held hostage here at Skagit Speedway, and I like to be out of here before 1 a.m. But no, we run a really clean program. I'm really proud of where our program's come from in the last year and a half.
We've got a board that tracks our times, and it's just
look where we were last May, June, to where we are now. It's a significant improvement. I think that's a little bit on why we're seeing an increase in crowds, and we hope you can come out. You get your tickets at SkagitSpeedway.com or give our office a call. We're here till 5-6 o'clock. If you leave a voicemail, we'll call you back the next day. So if you call at 7-8 o'clock having problems getting tickets, we'll just leave your number. We'll give you a holler back the next day. But no, it's going to be a good weekend, a good strong finish to our season. And then we've got a pair of 2-day shows to end out the year with season championship being split into two nights this year. So we'll run full program Friday, full program Saturday of season championship. That's the 19th and 20th, brought to you by Skagit Casino. If you're looking for a place to stay, they got a lot of rooms at Skagit Casino. It's about 2 minutes from the racetrack.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, if that.
Yeah.
Probably 2 minutes.
Yeah, about a minute down to Bow Hill Road, a minute up Bow Hill Road. It's right there. But, no, we're excited into the season with an exclamation point, and then, you know, Trophy Cup's around the corner for us down at Tulare. So that's going to be an exciting couple of months. You and I have some plans for some off-season podcasts. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of people we want to talk to, so I think maybe we can do some deeper dives here in the off-season and really peel back some onion layers. I talked to Steve Beitler quite a bit, and we'll get Steve on.
We might have Steve on.
Steve's one we might have to do a two-piece.
That's okay.
On one, his racing career, because he's got a lot of stories there, and then two, his career as ownership, and then shifting to what he's doing now. But I feel like that's kind of a two-podcast one for us.
I think
us.
So, and for sure.
He's a phenomenal storyteller.
Yeah.
Phenomenal storyteller. So
be maybe, a full maybe, maybe we'll go on his boat.
Yeah, we'll just have to tell him, hey, John, I'm sorry, we're gonna have to go out. Yeah, Steve's boat.
And he said that's the only way we can meet him.
Yeah, and we really want to get him on here. I think that's tough.
Yeah,
you know, but we'll get Steve on. But if you've got some guests, you know, some people in the past at Skagit, certainly shoot them our way. You know, let us know who you want to see, and we'll work on tracking some contacts down. But we've got a lot of plans, so it'll be fun.
Yeah. Well, again, as Blake said, we're not racing this weekend. We're racing next weekend, and then season championship. The points battles are very tight. Did you see Jason Sowell beat or has taken over the top spot in the 410s?
I mean, Trey had a tough weekend.
Yeah. I think he's got it by five.
He's got it by five. Yeah.
Trey should be able to get it back, but
you never know. Jason is tough to gain points on because Jason just
he's consistent.
On the
wears
podium every week.
Yep.
He just chips away at you. So that'll be fun to watch. The 360's not quite as tight. The Sporty's
honestly
15 points separating the top three and 3 points for the lead, and then
that'll come down to whoever wins the A-Main, I think.
Howard Voss and the Hornets pretty much has it wrapped up, though. Yeah. Howard's 115 up, so.
And
but
pretty
great
much
battles
Shane
right
Smith
behind him. You look, Braxton Hausman, Raven, and Scott Henry, they're only 4 points separating third, fourth, and fifth. So we've got a lot of people right there, and Shane Smith's got a hold of the the pretty midgets much. By 31. Ryan
so
Orchard.
Ryan could get it, but more than likely.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Shane's going to have to DNF on Saturday night or Friday or Saturday. I can't remember which they run on. Season championship. Friday. We'll deal with that next week, though.
Exactly. We'll get into a big deep dive then. But, again, no racing here at Skagit Speedway. Go support our friends up north at Deming Speedway for two nights. It's a really good cause. Mount Baker Athletic and Academic Night. So
yeah.
They raise money and donate it to Mount Baker Athletic and which is Academics. So
half mile down the road from them.
And where a lot of, you know, their kids have
come. Yeah, a lot of the kids work for Mount Baker Athletics right there. So great cause. We hope to see you up at Deming Speedway. Track Eric down. Say hello to him. He'll sign an autograph for you. Take a picture. Kiss the baby. He'll do whatever you need. But, no, it'll be good. We'll see you guys next week. We'll work on a guest. Yep. We'll have a big show coming up next week.
Yeah. All right. Until then, take care, everyone. I'll see you.